So my mom sent me a video this week, actually, of my middle one, Annabelle, when she went to kindergarten. So if you ever want to see a rendition of My Lighthouse, that is so cute. I'll show you guys the video. I was just thrown back to memory lane this morning. Okay, so I've been thinking a lot lately about how we as Christians can maintain our identity in Christ in a world where identities are changing a lot. So how do we remain that new creation that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians? And the new creation is a people who live a life of holiness. We are all fallible. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to look back at things that we said and did and regret it. We're going to stumble. And while we know that we can repent and we have forgiveness, the question is, why do we constantly make decisions that lead us to sin? And I sometimes get so frustrated with myself because I know better. When I do something that's wrong, I'm like, why did you do that? You know better. So I asked myself the question, how can I make better decisions that will lead to a life of less turmoil, less guilt, more intimacy with the Father? And not only for me, so that my life is easier, but so that others can see Jesus more clearly in me and be led to Jesus. And the answer is understanding and living in the fear of the Lord every day. So 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. Romans 1 verse 18 to 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So that is what happens when we don't live in fear of the Lord. Now, when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, it's not talking about fearing God, although there should be a natural fear. You know, if you know that he is a God of judgment and wrath, there should be a fear that your actions will have consequences. So there is that part of when we talk about fearing God. Romans 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wages of sin is death." But fearing God should be more like a child who fears the consequences of their actions and the discipline that comes with disobedience. That child doesn't fear their parent. They don't live in fear. They love their parent, but they have respect for the authority that comes with that fear. So we had as Craig said, a national leaders' time in Nanaimo. And Tyron, the guy that heads up NCMI, was telling us about an interview that somebody had with Jim Baker. Now, if anybody was like me and they don't know who Jim Baker was, he was a massive American TV evangelist between the 1960s and 1980s. He basically revolutionized modern Christian TV talk shows. He started numerous ministries, led hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. I mean, his impact was huge. He went to jail after a massive scandal, and you can go read about what that all entailed. It was pretty big, and he had a massive fall from grace. So this interviewer basically asked him, he said, "When did you stop loving the Lord?" And he answered him, and he said, "I never stopped loving him, I stopped fearing him." So that made me ask, well then, what is the fear of the Lord? And there's so many different ways that people describe it. So the fear of the Lord can mean, and in Hebrew it means awe-inspiring. So some will describe it as an awe and a respect. Think about the emotion when you are in awe of something. You cannot explain it. It overwhelms you. You're speechless. It's the best thing you've ever seen. And I'm going to nerd out a little bit. For me, this was when I went to med school. We had an anatomy museum where they actually had dissected parts of the body and they put it up. And one of them was like all the veins in the human body, like every tiny little vein. And as you go through med school, you realize how this is connected and how that is connected. And I was just in awe. I was like, we are so stupid as human beings. Like, this is amazing. So for me, every time I walked into that museum and I saw another part, or I saw, you know, they had development stages of the embryo and the fetus in tubes. And I was like, this is amazing. So think of that when you're in awe of something. That is the emotion, that is the experience you should be having. So Charles Spurgeon actually gives a really good analogy, and the analogy of a son and a father, and I'm going to just read it to you. It says, "The son's awe of his father arises out of admiration for his father. The son looks at his father and wants to do as his father does. He wants to copy that. He aspires to be like the father in wisdom and judgment. He trusts what his father tells him. He has a profound conviction that his father is good and kind. He believes his father would never ask him to do anything that would put him at risk. So he has a fear of his father, which prevents him from questioning his father's character. This admiration for his father commands respect for his father, and he does not think of questioning it. This is how we should fear the Lord. How can we question him? Whenever he does something, we should say, 'It is the Lord, let him do what seems good.' Fear of the Lord might be being overwhelmed by what we see God does from Genesis to Revelation, being overwhelmed by his goodness, his faithfulness. Some describe the fear of the Lord as a reverence for who God is. And can I say our fear of God is related to how much we know about God? So if you don't know God, you're not going to fear him. The more glorious he becomes to you, the more you fear him. So fear of the Lord should not lead us away from him. If fear is driving you away, it's the wrong kind of fear. That is not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord should drive us to seek him and seek his grace. Another way to look at the fear of the Lord is being aware that everything we do is in front of the holy God. Psalm 139 verse 1 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar." It later goes on to say that we cannot escape the Spirit of the Lord. Fear of the Lord means he has our undivided attention. Psalm 86 verse 11. "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Fear of the Lord motivates us to turn from sin and pursue righteousness. Job 28 verse 28 said, "And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding." So while we may not always know, we don't always understand the wisdom of God, we can't always know why things happen, we can revere God and turn from sin. And this sometimes means leaving things unanswered. It means to trust and obey, sometimes without understanding the reasoning for it. Fear of the Lord means being aware of the grace of the cross and the mercy we were shown. So it's full submission and obedience. What is the first thing that Jesus teaches us that we must do once we have repented and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? It is to be baptized. So why do we do it? We do it because he said it, and we do it because Jesus did it. And if we want to obey and follow Jesus and live in the fear of the Lord, we have to do the first commandment, the first thing he told us to do. We have to obey. So baptism is symbolic of us dying to self, living for Jesus. So it is a spiritual rebirth. If you want to be that new creation and leave the old behind, Baptism is the first step. Fear of the Lord is also recognizing that He has complete control. He is sovereign. He is unmatched in power and splendor. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases." So the fear of the Lord is a holy thought. It's not that we should be perfect, but we are called to lead holy lives. We are called to look different from the world. And sometimes for non-believers, it might look like they're needing to be perfect, or the Christian faith is a portrayal of perfection. It actually just means we are trying to live in obedience to Christ. So we're leading lives that reflect Christ, and that's actually how it should be. That should be the norm. The way that the world lives is abnormal. Revelation 15 verse 4 says, "Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." Fear of the Lord compels us to worship. So some days, I really don't feel like worshiping. I think that's human nature, to sometimes struggle physically. But if you are struggling to worship, maybe it's because you've lost the fear of the Lord. So the first thing is, we are commanded in the Bible to fear the Lord. But there are some benefits to fearing the Lord. The first one is, fearing God means wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1 verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So you can have all the credentials in the world. You can have all the degrees. If you don't fear the Lord, we are ignorant. We know nothing. God knows everything from beginning to the end. A wise person has God living in them. And this doesn't mean that if you fear the Lord that you're suddenly going to know everything. You're going to know every detail about everything. God's going to reveal everything to you. But don't you sometimes get to your life and you think, how did I know to make that decision? How did I know to reach out to that person? How did I know to move to that place? Fear of the Lord teaches us. Psalm 25 verse 12 says, "Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him he will instruct in the way he should choose." So there's the answer to question that I just asked you guys. Fear of the Lord means He shares His secrets with us. Psalm 25 verse 14. "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant." So this means God communicates with us. He gives us counsel. There's a personal communication system between us and God. So you need wisdom, you need to make decisions. Where do you start? Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord gives us confidence. Proverbs 14 verse 26. "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge." Are you struggling with confidence? Fear of the Lord. Our confidence does not come from ourselves, but knowing who we serve, knowing why we are on earth, realizing our time on earth is temporary and having eternity in mind. Fear of the Lord means life in abundance. So Proverbs 19 verse 23. "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm." Tyron also made quite a, not a profound statement, but a statement that was profound to me in that moment. He said, "We need to find contentment in our everyday walk with Jesus." Contentment means Christ is everything if everything falls away. Christ is enough if everything falls away. And I had to really go think about that one, because with my mouth I can say yes, but is that the truth? An interesting content, not satisfied. Satisfied means there's an end point. So it's usually a temporary feeling you get when you reach your goals, when you've done what you have to do. And we know that that's never going to happen. We're never going to reach all our goals in this life. So we are never going to be satisfied. Satisfaction can mean cutting corners to get to what you want to achieve. Contentment is long-lasting. Contentment means you stay strong even when things go wrong. It comes from within. It means you keep going. The work is never done. 1 Timothy 6, Paul says, "Godliness with contentment is a great gain." Fear of the Lord results in protection. Proverbs 14, verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." Fear of the Lord results in a life away from sin. Proverbs 16, verse 6, "By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity atoned for, and by fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil." So if you have the fear of the Lord, you don't want it. We deal with sin, we repent, we move on. Fear of the Lord is good for the body. It's physically important to fear God. Proverbs 3, verse 7 to 8 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." So fear of the Lord means we respect our bodies. What we put in our bodies, it's to please Him. We use our body to serve Him. We honor God with our body. He dwells within us. And while fear of the Lord doesn't guarantee 100 extra years of life, and if that's what you're looking for, that's not what it means. But Proverbs 10:27, yeah, that would be so easy. Proverbs 10:27 does say fear of the Lord prolongs life. And I think that just means that we make better choices. We don't have destructive habits. We promote choices for longevity. Probably the most important one is fear of the Lord allows us to witness to others and makes Jesus known. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 11 says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." So this word persuade doesn't mean trick or fool. The Greek word persuade actually means to seek someone's favor, as in getting them to see you in a favorable or desired way. So how can we not make Him known? That is our purpose on earth. Out of the fear of the Lord comes love for us and for others. So how do we find this fear of the Lord? We now sort of know what it means. We see there's some benefit to it. Let's read Proverbs 2, verse 1 to 5. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So this verse says we have to turn our ear to God's word. We have to seek for it intensely. It's active, which means you can't just sit back and think it's going to come to you. You have to go search for it. The scripture is very demonstrative. It shows call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding. These are not soft actions. They're urgent. So this is how it should be when we seek the fear of the Lord. It is emotional. It is intense. We have to be desperate for it. We have to plead God for more of it. And it has to come from our hearts, not just our heads. It is persistent. As they describe in the scripture, if you search for a hidden treasure, you're going to keep seeking until you find it. There's endurance involved, and there's passion involved in it. And can I just say, if we don't fear the Lord, our kids are never going to fear the Lord. So we can't just show up on a Sunday and hope something will happen and all will be better. We have to live in the fear of the Lord every single day. Philippians 2 verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Again, the emphasis here is on continually be pursuing obedience, sanctification, which is just being made holy, until one day it can be complete, and that is when we are with God. So that is never going to stop. You're not going to do something right today and tomorrow do it right again. It's a continuous process. This verse also shows us the attitude that we should have when we pursue sanctification. It should be with a healthy dose of the fear of the Lord, righteous awe and respect. So I'm going to leave you guys with the last verse, and this one basically sums it all up. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That is what fearing the Lord is all about.